Good morning. Welcome to worship on this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. As you can see, Pastor Lori is still not here recovering from COVID. She's doing very well, just in the quarantine phase. I think symptoms are pretty much over. So we'll remember her in prayer. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, let us take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our first hymn. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son, that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Proverbs 25. A reading from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept and undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Luke chapter 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down in a place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would go to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you would be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and then you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Good morning and grace and peace to you who are gathered with us in body and those who are joining us from home. We are grateful to be in worship together today. Raising a six-year-old in today's world is very fun. One of our favorite games in the Josef Meyer household is to mute commercials during shows on the rare occasions we're not watching PBS Kids, and to play the game, what are they selling and what do they promise? It's a fun game, if you've ever played, right? Sometimes it's very obvious. They're selling you a Snickers bar. They are promising you that you will enjoy the sugar rush when you eat it, right? Sometimes it's a little more obtuse, right? If you buy this car, you will be driving on beautiful landscapes like a professional stunt driver instead of sitting in traffic. It's an implicit promise, right? Maybe not as clear. Sometimes it's both. If you buy this brand of paper towel, you will effectively wipe up tiny spills in an otherwise immaculately clean million-dollar home. Right? That's not what wiping up spills in my house looks like, but, you know, the dreams of advertising. We do this in the hope of helping Maeve be able to engage media literacy, right? To be able to understand the function of marketing. But according to Forbes in 2017, digital marketing experts estimate that Americans are exposed to between 4,000 and 10,000 ads each day. Surprise! How many of those do you feel like we're maybe not actively playing the game, what are they selling and what do they promise? It is in the air we breathe, it is in the water we drink. We are thoroughly conditioned, day in and day out, with a behavior reward promise. The behavior is usually consuming, but not always. And as you may not be surprised, when you think about our lives together as human beings, this translates into a lot of how we engage each other as well. There's $1 million to be made in self-help books and pop psychology, advice columns. This behavior will lead to this reward. And we end up moving through life chasing rewards with largely meaningless or minimized behaviors. Because where the promise lies in where it will take us, the then of the if-then clause. So, when we hear a text like we have in today's gospel from Luke, we arrive conditioned, saturated, set up to read texts like this with our eye on the conditional reward that is coming if we do a certain behavior. You could choose to read the parable this morning about taking the lowest place at a banquet table as Jesus offering advice on how to game a system. Maybe it's from Jesus' newest book, 7 Tips for Making a Good Impression at Wedding Banquets. Tip number 4, humble yourself to set the stage for public exaltation. And while it's a humorous notion to imagine Jesus as a huckster with a self-help book, there's devastating loss to us spiritually to hearing scripture through this lens. What it communicates is that this so-called humility is actually a means to a reward at the end, a feint on the chessboard of life that leads to the ultimate victory, exaltation, repayment at the resurrection of the righteous. I imagine every one of us has had experience with a brand of popular Christianity in which this is how we make the foolishness of the cross palatable for mass consumption today. How we bring God's promises into alignment with the if-then conditioning of this world's promises. You might have a sense of where I'm going with this. It's not a good or helpful or spiritually renewing way to read and understand scripture. If we know anything about Jesus Christ, it is that the meaning in his life was lived in his if clauses. Who he was in the world. In Luke, we know that Jesus has spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil and has been offered reward. The devil says to him, "You can have authority over and the glory of all the kingdoms of the world if you just worship me." You want to bypass the difficult if behaviors clauses of the life that's left ahead of you, Jesus? Here's your reward up front. Huh? And instead of leaning into the reward, Jesus returns to the community to proclaim that he has been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Instead of leaning into the reward, Jesus continues his path to Jerusalem, humbling himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The first century world in which Jesus and his community is immersed is in many ways unfamiliar to us, as is obvious from hearing this story today. It's not terribly straightforward to insert ourselves into the role of Jesus' audience hearing this parable, or the role of the host at this Sabbath meal. But it is contextually clear that it is a crass interpretation to read Jesus' teaching to be about posturing as lowly because you're playing the long game of exaltation. Moving through the world the way we have been conditioned, making choices that are less about choices that are meaningful than choices that are the pursuit of an implied or overt promise, deadens us spiritually. I can't imagine there's a one of us in this room who hasn't felt this at some point. The meaninglessness, the emptiness, the twist in your gut that something is fundamentally askew or broken when all you are doing is feeling like Pavlov's dog, right? Waiting for the bell. To speak from a spiritual framework that we inherit from Jesus Christ rather than the conditioned one the world offers us, we are liberated from complying with dehumanizing concepts and are called into lives that are humanizing and humane, where meaning exists in the if clause. The power of if Jesus brings us. Jesus teaches his followers through all of his parables, his stories, the examples of his life, what it means to close the gap between believing in Jesus and following him. To follow the way of Jesus is to lead a cruciform life, a life in the shape of the cross. Like Jesus, we humble ourselves, picking up our crosses daily, rejecting worldly games of power and prestige and honor, and instead join Jesus in his mission of good news to the poor and release to the captive. To proclaim to the world God's favor, humility becomes not a feeling or a game, but how we engage the world out of love, because that is where meaning dwells. Our love, like Christ's love, takes on the suffering and the struggles of the world. It does not run from them toward reward. Cruciform lives that move our energy into a lived ethic of humility, an ethic of love, into ways of being that transform the world, even as we are daily transformed by the love of Christ and the grace of God. So yes, repeatedly in Scripture, we hear Jesus telling parables that ask his listeners to behave counterculturally, sometimes even bizarrely. But in these stories, we are being invited into an uncommonness that is creative, ethical, transformative. We are called by Jesus to baffle and bewilder. We know that the gospel of Christ crucified is foolishness to the world. It stands to reason that when we live cruciform lives, we would look foolish to the world around us as well. Someone may come to you with a self-help book to get you back on track. But unfortunately, or as I would argue, fortunately for us, we read Jesus today speaking a way into the world as it is, the systems as they are, and for us to be transformative within it. Jesus calls us today to live out the full meaning and potential and purpose of the if clause. God's promises of grace, of love, of salvation are so abundant, they are beyond compare and are not relegated to a conditional future. I'm going to say that one more time. God's grace, God's love, and salvation are not relegated to a conditional future. In fact, God's grace is the precedent for how we can meaningfully engage the if clause of our lives. Writing of costly grace, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, It is costly because it calls us to discipleship. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs people their lives. It is grace because it thereby makes them live. The question for us gathered today around this table, this banquet, this word, for those of us who prepare for this feast, the question is this. Does this perplexing call to follow Jesus Christ, cross and all, make us live, even as it costs us our life? Does dying to the conditional rewards of this world's promises, choosing not to conform to this world, does choosing the if of a life of love and humility and creativity transform death to life in me and in my world? Is it good news to the poor, the captive, the blind, and the oppressed? Because then, I suppose, it is indeed grace that calls us. Beloved in God, don't wait. God's love and grace are already here. No further reward is needed. Be creative, subversive, even foolish. You might not end up looking like a supermodel, wearing expensive watches, or living in expensive homes. You may find yourself caught in traffic from time to time. But liberated from chasing what isn't, you will be profoundly and meaningfully what God has created you to be. Salt of the earth, a light on the hill, vibrant, living, and transformative. Amen.
with the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. For the church and its leaders, we pray. Uphold all deacons, pastors, and bishops who serve and teach your people. Awaken in your church a spirit of invitation that reaches ever outward. Merciful God, hear our prayer. For the well-being of creation and its inhabitants, we pray. Stir in us reverent awe for the beauty of the natural world, for oceans and lakes, rivers and streams, forests and deserts. Merciful God, hear our prayer. For the nations and peoples of the world, we pray. Sustain the efforts of those who pursue justice and equity for all. Defend and accompany all immigrants and refugees and all who are persecuted. Merciful God, hear our prayer. For this congregation and its ministries, we pray. Prepare children, teachers, and youth ministry directors for a new year of learning. Embolden our witness to invite others to the table. Merciful God, hear our prayer. For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, we pray. Be present with those who live in isolation or fear, especially those who are detained. Comfort all who are sick or grieving. We pray especially this week for Joy Lathrop, Doug and Jody Martin, Lori Lund, Pastor Lori Jones, Tara Pratt, and Kristen Ware. We pray for all these we've named aloud and those held in our hearts and those known only to you. Merciful God, hear our prayer. For all the saints who confess God's name, we give thanks. May we cling to the promise of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we grieve in this present time of pain and suffering. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love, through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's just take 1 minute to share that peace with one another. us pray. God of abundance, you have set before us a plentiful harvest. As we feast on your goodness, strengthen us to labor in your field and equip us to bear fruit for the good of all. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of love and power upon the chosen disciples and also upon us. As this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution, we'll invite you to come up the center aisle, and you'll receive the bread in the form of a wafer, which you'll dip into the cup. The cup is a divided cup that has red wine and white grape juice. Come, for all has been made ready. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few notes about our life together as a community. If you look on the back of your bulletin, we have several save the dates for you. We are anticipating a robust fall where we are going to get closer and closer to normal and things looking more and more normal. So we have, you'll see September 11th is our last garden worship, and then September 13th, Together Tuesdays are back. So you could see information about that where we have a common meal and various classes. That's been on hiatus for 2.5 years now. So we're really excited for those to be coming back. And then September 18th, our stewardship team is going to invite you to a re-engage event kicking off our fall programming between services. And after that Sunday moving forward, we will also have our education hour with services starting the 25th for children and adults. We are so excited. Things are coming back together. Now I invite all who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. in peace. Serve the Lord. Is it a hat? Part of a hat? Good to see you. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. So. Okay. Oh, all right. I'll let you know what your visualizer part is then. I know. They, you know, it's one of those. They were confident, but, you know, it's, yeah, it's kind of a phone call. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. But no, apparently it's just the heating is fine. So, and the other thing is make sure that when you're done it gets green, because otherwise it's just never. Good morning. How are you today? Yeah. Sensation in the hand and the body when you do that. Yeah. Good morning. Good to see you, Jeff. Doing well. How are you doing? I love the shirt. It is summer. Is not saying you can't wear it in the winter. That's right.